Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are a Catholic radio for the Christian community, and a very good morning and a warm welcome to all of you listening today. I'm Bruce McGregor with
Chris McGregor.
And Monday, of course, means it's time for another edition of Ask the Bible Geek with our good friend Mark Hart. Mark, of course, the Executive Vice President of Life Teen, an award-winning author, renowned speaker. Mark, in addition to his books, has podcasts, a video Bible study series, T3, that have literally helped hundreds of thousands of Catholics, young and old, dive more deeply into sacred scripture. And Mark's latest book, along with co-author Christopher Cuddy, in this year of St. Paul in the Catholic Church, is called Sword of the Spirit, A Beginner's Guide to St. Paul. And right now, we would like to welcome Mark Hart to the platform. Mark, how are you?
I am on the metal platform with Michael Phelps. I'm waving.
Hey.
It's good.
It's funny you should mention Michael Phelps, because I happened to be out with my girlfriend, and we just happened to be out at a restaurant area sitting, and they had the television screens up. And Mark, there was a moment when he was racing that last race, and it was almost like a communion with everybody else, and you didn't know who they were, all from all different areas, but you had this shared joy and excitement and anticipation. And sometimes, you know, as you were speaking, it kind of reminded me that must be what it's like for us in the communion of saints, because when we unite in our prayer, it's all those things, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, like Christ, Christ used that line, if we had eyes to see. And that line, I remember the first time I read that, I said, that was one of those ones where I kind of said, why is Jesus talking like the Riddler? Like,
yeah. Right. You know,
I heard that, and I was kind of going, oh, I remember the first time I heard that as a kid. I was like, I don't know what that means. You know, is that for blind people, or is that for people? You know, I didn't understand it. And then I hear it later on in life, and I was like, you know, well, I do have eyes to see, you know? And then as you get older, you start to say, you know, as your eyesight starts to go, you start to say, I really, spiritually, I don't have eyes to see, but give me eyes, Lord. Give me eyes to see, you know? And now I really, as I'm getting older, I'm appreciating that line more and more, if I had eyes to see. Mm-hmm. And I think that when I see most clearly, the beauty of prayer is frequently not when I'm praying, although I'm trying to, when I see most beautifully the beauty of prayer, when I see, is when my kids pray.
Mm. Yes.
And that struck me, and it was interesting, because when you read the saints, some of the saints you read, and you read about how the hardship they have with prayer. Mm-hmm. And I really like them. I can really connect with them, you know, when they talk about the distractions they have to deal with in prayer and the difficulties of prayer. Because anybody listening to this, you know, would probably say two things. I need to pray more, because we always need to pray more. We always say that. Mm-hmm. Number two, I struggle with prayer. Most of the Catholics I meet say I struggle with prayer. I struggle with my discipline. I struggle with you know, making time for it, with really entering into it, just with the busyness of the day. So most of the time, that's something that, you know, in terms of solidarity, we all share is a difficulty in prayer. Yet we think, I think, sometimes that the saints never had a hard time with it. You know, that now they have no problem, because they're in heaven. You know, that's what they live to do and exist to do, is to praise God. But I really believe, you know, is that we have to remind ourselves that prayer, we make prayer far more complicated than it really is. Mm-hmm. And when we pray, is that we're praying in imitation of the saints, you know, on earth. Yes, we can remember that in our humanity, it's hard to pray. But we're also praying alongside the saints in heaven, which is really, it's kind of hard to wrap our heads around sometimes. But it's like, when we feel like we're failing, we should remember the saints because they had a hard time. But when we're praying, we should also remember the saints because they're joining their prayers to ours. We can invite them to join their prayers to ours. Instead of praying in imitation of them in heaven, we're praying alongside of them. That prayer, as St. Therese said, prayer is a surge of the heart. Her quote is, for me, prayer is a surge of the heart. It's a simple look turned toward heaven. It's a cry of recognition and of love, embracing both trial and joy. And I've always loved that quote. Mm. It's a surge of the heart. It's a look turned towards heaven. It's a cry of recognition and of love, and it embraces both trial and joy. I mean, you just got to love the little flower.
Yeah, oh, yes, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
There's a reason she's a doctor of the church, you know. There's just such wisdom in that simplicity. But you know, really, I've always loved the definition of a prayer. I've always loved is the definition from the Catechism, and it comes from 2560 in the Catechism, and I've remembered it because I've read it so many times, and it just has burned a hole in my heart. And it's just, this is so beautiful. Prayer is the encounter of God's thirst with ours.
Mm. Yep.
And if you think about that for a second, I mean, that's the kind of thing you can journal on for days. Prayer is the encounter, first of all, but prayer is, it's active, you know, not prayer was, prayer should be, prayer is the encounter. It's an encounter. And an encounter is not just something, it's not just something you sit back and watch take place, but it's something that you enter into, and you encounter God face to face. You encounter Him heart to heart, eyelash to eyelash. But it's an encounter of God's thirst. Okay, the God, with ours. So it's, I think sometimes we think prayer is our thirst for God. It's our thirst to have our petitions answered. It's our thirst to have our life changed. It's our thirst to get God's grace. But we forget that God has a thirst for us. If God didn't thirst for us, we would cease to exist. We wouldn't even be here.
Mm-hmm.
Like all it takes is God to stop thinking about you for one, nanosecond, and you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
That God has a thirst for us and for us to live. So prayer is where God's thirst and our thirst encounter one another. And if you think about it like that, it's passionate, it's active, it's receptive, it's urgent, it's desirous, it's just beautiful. It's so much more than just some boring obligation, some abstract conversation. It's a dialogue. And some dialogues, I always compare it to, when you go into like a little Denny's or an IHOP or something, you see a cute little old couple, and sometimes you see an old couple and they're just talking. They won't stop talking. And some people will say, "Wow, what do they have left to talk about after all these years?" You know. And other times you'll go in and see a couple and they'll be completely silent, but they're so comfortable with each other. And you say, people will say, "Oh gosh, like they have nothing to say after all these years." And I think in both cases they're beautiful. They're a beautiful example of an intimate encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer can be like that. Sometimes you're going to be overflowing with prayers, more things to say than you can even possibly put words to. And maybe you can't even find the words. And in that case, it's okay, too, because it says in Scripture in Romans 8, the Spirit speaks in inexpressible groanings. The Spirit fills in the gaps where words won't do. The Spirit gives us words when words, can't express. But other times, you're just going to might be so tired, so depleted, or even so overjoyed and so in awe that words, it won't even exit your lips,
Yeah. Yeah, Mark, it is one of those things where, you run into people and, they're constantly asking, how do I pray? I mean, they'll know a lot of the wonderful prayers that are available to us, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, Glory Be, all of these other wonderful prayers and devotionals and things that are out there. But they'll ask the simplest of questions that really is a very complicated answer. And it's like, when I pray to God, how do I pray? What do I pray for?
And, there's different types of prayer. I mean, there's prayers of petition, when we're asking God for things, and people sometimes, feel guilty doing that. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you remember God isn't Santa Claus, as long as we're asking petitionary prayer, asking that His will be done, not just our will, not just our wishes granted, there's nothing wrong with petitionary prayer. In fact, Teresa of Avila says it's a great compliment to God when you ask Him for things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's petitionary prayer, certainly. There's prayers of adoration, where we're just in praise and worship, and we're just adoring God for who He is. Not just for what He does, Prayers of thanksgiving, where we just turn our hearts to God with gratitude. God, thank you. And it can be from the grand things. Thank you for the tremendous blessings you've placed in my life. And prayers just for the little things. Lord, thank you for that beautiful sunrise. Thank you for using creation to remind me of you, remind me of how much you love me, there's petition, there's intercession. Lord, I really want to pray on behalf of this person, and that sacrifice of our time, the selfless movement of our heart to want to lift up another to God. It's not like when we pray for somebody else, I think sometimes it's like we're trying to change God's mind about, like, if someone has cancer,
right,
and someone says, pray for that person. Well, it's not so much we're trying to change God's mind on something, but we're offering a sacrifice of praise. We're saying, God, I want my energy, I want to be placed into praying on behalf of this other person. In intercession, I want to pray for this person over here. I want to offer this time. And that display of love, that display of selflessness that comes to God through our prayer, God will honor. God honors that. Will bring that person. He'll send grace upon that person. He'll send peace upon that person. And it's not like it's a contract, exchange of goods and services. God, I'm going to give you a prayer and you give that person grace. It's a beautiful turning your heart towards God and saying, I don't understand, God, I don't understand this, but I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that in and of itself is an incredibly powerful prayer. Father, I do not understand you, but I trust you.
Right.
And that's something that, I always encourage people who are in times of great suffering or are really feeling alienated from God or by God, sometimes, which is never the case, but sometimes in our humanity we can believe that. But I'm always encouraging people, that's a very powerful prayer. Father, I do not understand you, but I trust you. So there are various forms of prayer. There are beautiful forms of prayer. I mean, obviously reading Scripture is a form of prayer. The sacraments, rosary, liturgy of the hours, Lectio Divina. There's so many forms of prayer, and they're all powerful. You know, Bruce, like you said, they're all beautiful. Mm-hmm. They're given to us. I mean, you know, the Hail Mary and the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, those are given to us not only to teach us how to pray or to teach us about the mind and the heart of God, but on really practical levels, they're also given to us as tremendous gifts to pray when maybe our mind is flooded with a thousand other things or our heart is filled with a bunch of other things. They help us center. They help us to formulate and articulate, you know, prayer when maybe otherwise we can't. You know, so that they're tremendous gifts. But Scripture also warns us we shouldn't just babble like pagans. You know. Mm-hmm. There were several times in my life when I prayed rosaries, and it was just more like I was reciting them. I mean, I had the good intentions, but I wasn't really entering into the prayers. You know, it was more like I was just sort of babbling them out of this blind piety, mm-hmm. in hopes that God would honor my effort. But I wasn't really reflecting on the mysteries, or I'd get too distracted, or I wouldn't focus on the prayers. There was many rosaries. I think I probably ended up saying about 100 Hail Marys because I would finish one and say, "That my heart wasn't in that. I have to do that one again. That one doesn't count."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I keep moving through it. You know?
I do that too. I stop. I go, "Wait a minute! Like I'm going back, and I have to start over again."
This is what's funny. It's like it's almost like we never talk about this on Catholic radio. We never talk about this. You know, you don't talk about this on UATN. I mean, it's almost like people are ashamed or afraid to admit these things because it almost makes them appear less holy or less, you know, focused. Almost like, well, if you get distracted, you're just not doing it right. You're not loving God. And I want to say with all humility, you know, get off your soapbox, people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how dare you? You know, don't widen your phylacteries and lengthen your tassels in front of me. You know, mm-hmm. like some of the greatest saints on the planet couldn't get through a rosary without getting distracted.
You did mention one in particular, Saint Therese. Saint Therese mm-hmm. had a hard time praying the rosary, and yet, as you said so beautifully in the very beginning, ultimately, the prayer isn't as complicated as we think because all those things, all the different forms of prayer that we have, come down to that, ultimately, the surging of our hearts towards heaven.
Be honest to God, from your lips to God's ears, you know what? You nailed it right there. And you know what? That has that surge. You know what's behind the surge? It's intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's an intimate desire. It's an intimate desire to love God and to be loved by God. And that's the inner desire that God places in our soul as a gift. He puts that in our soul. Now, that candle, we can toss tons of sin on top of that, tons of blankets on top of it. It will never extinguish the candle, but we can definitely hamper it. You know, we can definitely cover it,
yep.
to the point where it feels like it's not there. But that candle's always there by virtue of our baptism. It's always there by virtue of God, of our creation from the Father. And we have to fan the flame of prayer. And what I'm always telling people, young and old, and I'm telling myself this at the same time, prayer is not as complicated as we make it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're the ones that get stuck in the formulas because of our humanity. We're the ones that bind ourselves to formulas. Okay, what I used to say to Catholics, if someone has a strong devotion to the rosary, the first thing you should say to them is, you need to start praying Scripture more.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't that you shouldn't pray a rosary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say to them, it's possible, this is really interesting, it's possible to get apathetic in pious prayer and in disciplined prayer devotions. And apathy is a deadly sin because we get so comfortable with one that we never allow ourselves to be stretched in others.
Mm-hmm.
And we can actually, this is ironic, we can actually, while we're being spiritually disciplined, we can become apathetic and spiritually lazy to other disciplines and other forms of prayer, other devotions. Well, I usually tell people that love the rosary but don't read Scripture, I tell them that they can keep praying the rosary, and that's wonderful, but you need to pray a scriptural rosary.
Mm-hmm.
Or you need to begin to embrace Scripture more. People that only read Scripture and have no, you know, and have no relationship with the Blessed Mother. You know, I usually say, now, okay, it's time to avail yourself of some of the depth and the breadth and the wisdom and the gifts of our Church and learn some of these other forms of prayer. People who are only comfortable with silence, I challenge them to go to praise and worship, you
right.
know, kinds of ceremonies, and learn how to praise God with your voice,
mm-hmm.
also. And people who are just the praise and worship junkies, you know, who can only do that, I challenge them to spend a lot more time in silence. I challenge those who only do social justice to spend more time journaling, and those people who only spend time journaling to get out and serve, you know. And
mm-hmm.
it's really, I guess the reason I started doing this is because I was realizing that I was becoming very, very one-dimensional in my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, what I'm comfortable with, you know, and it's very easy. This happens in parishes. There are entire parishes that take on the spirituality of their priest.
Right.
Out of only their priest's prayer discipline, or only their, you know, RCIA coordinator or youth minister's prayer discipline. And there are many places where that happens. There are many families that never, ever pray because the spiritual head of the household, the man, is not a prayer. Or, and because the spiritual heart of the household, the mother, is not a prayer. Now, they might pray individually and personally, but not calling the family to deeper levels of prayer. And that is the responsibility of a parent. Whether or not you're comfortable with it, it's responsibility of a parent. If you're not comfortable with it, admit it, claim it, and then ask for help. Because there's plenty of help available, plenty of resources available. But prayer is nothing more than crawling up into the lap of God and just letting Him love you. That's really what it is. And I was reminded of this several weeks ago. I had had, you know those days you have in ministry, you two, you know, where just everybody, it just seems like every, God wants about every person in your path that day to remind you what an awful job you're doing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to say it's not the case in ministry, but it's like the case everywhere. But I think sometimes people who work in the secular world, the corporate world, think that it's not like that in the church world or ministry. If it's not like that, it's even more so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because so often you have people who are don't tell me how to live, and they'll go after you kind of thing. And I was having one of those days. I was having a very difficult day, just a tremendous amount of negativity coming in, trying to take away, trying to steal my joy. I mean, the devil was at work. And I got home that night. It was just one of those days where it was really hard to pray. The entire Bailey Mass, my mind was distracted, and I was keep trying to push these thoughts out, all the things I had to do, you know, distracted. But there's still certainly grace there. Throughout the course of the day, my adoration time, distraction. I was in adoration for an hour. I got about 3 minutes where I really felt connected to Jesus and 57 minutes of fighting distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, one of those kinds of days, right? I got home. It was a melee when I got home. I mean, literally, I seriously was thinking about installing a trapeze out of the ceiling of my house because my girl was swinging and jumping and dancing and screaming. I mean, it was just a circus, right?
Yep.
So we finally get through all this, get everything done. It's the end of a very long day. My wife is just decimated tired. I'm decimated tired. We can barely even talk to each other because our minds are just so fatigued. I collapsed into the sofa in our prayer room, and I just wanted to pray, and I was trying so hard, and I was getting angry. I was getting annoyed because I could not pray.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I tried to pray, it was just distracting. And I sat on the couch, and when I finally had this moment of silence, you guys, and I was just about to end up in a prayer, I hear footsteps on the tile, and here comes my 2-year-old, who I've had to put in bed 10 times, and she comes around the corner, Daddy, you know, I'm thinking to myself, oh, Lord, you think way too much of me. I'm on my last neuron. I'm about to come unraveled. Lord, what are you doing? All I want to do is pray. I'm asking you to help me pray, and you bring this distraction out here, this beautiful little 2-year-old distraction. Like, this is my one moment of silence all day. And she comes over the couch. She crawls up onto the couch. She crawls up into my lap. Now, she's half asleep. You know, she's already got that terrible breath going. It's, you know, 11 o'clock at night. She crawls up onto my chest. She curls up into my chest, sucks her thumb, and puts her head right on my heart and just kind of closes her eyes. And as I was about to say my next line of, like, God, why won't you just let me pray? Like, what are you doing? I was reduced to tears.
Yeah.
Just reduced to tears. And I had to repent. I just said, oh, Lord, like, forgive me. If I only had eyes to see, God, like, forgive me. I am, oh, Lord, how could I be so blind all the time, you know? And here I was beseeching Him, and I was lamenting my day, and I was angry and annoyed. I was beseeching Him, saying, God, just let me pray. Show me how to pray. Like, give me the words kind of thing. Give me some silence. And it was though He sends out this beautiful, angelic, holy, saintly little reminder, curls up in my heart and says, this is all you got to do. This is how you are to pray.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Our Father. That, like, what she did is what I'm to do. And that is the living manifestation of the Our Father. It's the living manifestation of the Hail Mary. It's the living manifestation of the Glory Be. And it was the perfection of prayer. It was the surge of the heart. It was the encountering God's thirst with our own thirst. It was all these things that prayer is supposed to be. And you see, if we have that level of intimacy and that level of comfort that we can just go to God and just crawl up into His lap, and that trust that He's going to thrust His arms around us and just hold us when words won't do, and thrust His arms around us and hold us when we're beleaguered and we're worn down by sin, that intimacy, that heart knowledge of God, now it animates every other form of prayer. And when you feel as though you're a failure and you watch other people, how can you look at them in adoration and mass, and they're so focused, look at the way they read their Bible, look at how disciplined they are with their rosary, the people that are able to do that, okay, the holy people in our parishes, the holy saints who have gone before us, the people who are able to do that, all of that stems from and flows from this fountain of intimacy. That's what prayer is. It's an intimate relationship with God. And even if you don't feel intimate, you're like, wow, my prayer isn't intimate. It can be, but it has to start with us approaching God. It says in James 4:8 and 4:9, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So if you're feeling distracted in prayer, offer that distraction up to God for his glory. Say, God, I offer all these other thoughts up to you for your glory, all these distractions up for your glory. And if that distraction is coming from Satan, the devil's never going to do anything that's going to give God glory.
Yep.
He will flee. And if that distraction does not go with him, then that is God putting on your heart. You pretty good bet. That's God putting this in, saying, "This is something I want you to pray on. This is something I want you to bring to me and lay at my feet." You know, but literally, it's going to start. It starts with that. What all the quotes from all the saints and the catechism and everything has to do. It starts with that movement to him and that effort and that humility. Like, that's what prayer is. It's movement. It's effort. It's humility. It's going forward before and laying that at the feet of God and just saying, can I crawl up into your lap? Will you just hold me, Father? And from there, liturgy gets deeper. Okay, Lectio Divina, Scripture gets deeper. The Rosary gets deeper. And all of a sudden, what you start to find is your whole day becomes a form of prayer. Is that you wake up and you feel like you're waking up and God's right beside you. That you're getting ready for work, you're ready for school, God's right there. You're eating, you're driving, he's in the seat next to you. You're at work in the office, he's there next to you. And you start to find that your whole day, this is what St. Paul's talking about in 1 Thessalonians. This is how you pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that you live at the church. It means that you make your every day, your every movement, that making the eggs, that doing the dishes, that taking the trash out, all forms of service, yes, all forms of prayer, all the way down to spending that hour with that mom or that dad, that father-in-law, that mother-in-law, that grandparent on the phone, and they're just talking incessantly about stuff you don't care about, that is a holy hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well done.
Oh, well, first I have to get the Kleenex and wipe my eyes. I mean, that was so beautiful, Mark. And yep. It is, to pray without ceasing, that is, it's just that, always just being the child of God, literally in his lap, and just in every moment of your day,
mm-hmm.
everything changes in your heart. It does. It does surge to heaven because that's where he's calling us to.
In Our Father, when it says, you know, Our Father, you know, who art in heaven, that's not to say, hey, God, you're way out there. That's to say, that's my goal. That's my destination. That's what I'm working towards, and call me home, bring me home, carry me home, you know, meet me where I am and walk me to where you are.
That's right.
That's what, you know, that's what we're doing. And honestly, this makes life so much more exciting, too. I mean, if we're able to put on this perspective and put on have eyes to see, if we put on the mind and the heart of God, you can walk into the motor vehicle department to renew your tags, and it can be a moment of prayer. Like, I've actually made this a game now. Like, whenever I go in somewhere, I'll say, how can I turn today into a prayer? I had to go renew my license plate. I'm standing in the DMV where I don't want to touch anything because it looks like it has not been washed, wiped, cleaned, whatever. And, you know, Carter was an office. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I'm standing in this place surrounded by, you know, people, surrounded by God's children who have transcendent dignity, even if they don't show it on the outside. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing there, and I'm filled with joy at some of the kids that see running around. I'm filled with pity for some of the people that I see. I'm filled with sadness for some people. I see the way that they're acting, dressing, carrying themselves. And I'm sitting there going, you know what? This is beautiful. This is a great opportunity to pray. I can sit here and I can complain and whine about having to sit here. I have to give up my free time and sitting in this place. It smells terrible. I can complain about it. I can complain about why I can't do this online because I should be able to, but because this person didn't do their job. I can get so caught in that, or I can look at this and say, what a beautiful opportunity to interact with God's children that I otherwise would not interact with or see, and what a great opportunity to be able to pray for them, and to be able to sit there and not cast judgment, not foster judgment, but just offer joy and compassion and mercy, and just to be able to sit and pray, and be able to watch situations and pray that God's grace would be upon that situation, or his peace upon that relationship, or his joy with that family, or whatever it is. To pray for the people who are serving so selflessly, you know, to pray for the people who are being patient out of thanksgiving, to be able to offer petition and intercession. I'm telling you, like, even something like that, you know, like, there's no end to how we can bring in prayer. You can pray, and you can pray in the DMV, you can pray in traffic school, you can pray in traffic, you can pray anywhere. In those moments that you're just despising the fact that you're there, it's a wonderful and adventurous opportunity to enter into prayer.
Absolutely. God is in everything and everywhere. It's just up to us to acknowledge him. Mark, thanks so much for being with us. We deeply appreciate it, and Look forward to hearing from you again next week.
It is always my pleasure. So thank you for everything you all do.
Hey, we'll pray for you if you pray for us.
This reminds me, we actually have a new book that we just came out with through Life Team. It's called Core Values, A Spiritual Guide for Core Members. And this is a book that we've written for people who are core members in Life Team, but also anybody who is a catechist, a volunteer catechist, working with youth ministry or adult ministry. And really what we found was we had plenty of books that taught the elements of how to do teachings and give testimonies and lead small groups and things like that. But what we were lacking was a book of real spiritual reading to help people that are serving start to develop their own spiritual life, their own prayer life, to really start to kind of go deeper. And, you know, sometimes it's intimidating to try and jump into someone like St. Augustine, you know, or, you know, that kind of thing in spiritual readings, or even St. Therese, as simple as it is, can be kind of intimidating at first. So we put together this book, and I wrote two chapters, Matt Maher wrote a chapter, several different people from our staff contributed, and there's sections in there about, in the very back of the appendix, about how to pray, how to find a spiritual director. But what we do is we take several chapters and we walk people through what we call the core values of Life Team and how we begin to really put on and take on this a more prayerful life of service. And it's written for priests and religious, it's written for marrieds and singles, it's written for anybody and everybody in the Catholic Church who ministers in any kind of ministry, just to help them in really layman's terms, because most of us are writing it we're just married, you know, we're married and single adults trying to get through this same walk too. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's called Core Values. In fact, Bishop Herman from St. Louis even wrote one of the chapters. It's a tremendous gift. In fact, it was funny, when I finally gave a copy to Matt Maher, who wrote one of the chapters, he said, this is one of the deepest, the most beautiful spiritual reading I've done in years. So just a wonderful gift, very, very low cost. I think it's like $10 or $11. It's available on our Life Team website. For anybody maybe who works in ministry or just who wants to go deeper with some spiritual reading, it's called Core Values, and I really highly, I forgot to mention that earlier, I highly recommend it.
Well, I'm going to have to get on the website now and get a copy.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll just send you a copy, Chris.
Well, you're too good to me, Mark Hart.
This is true, but I'm going to send you one.
Mark, thanks.
God bless you. Thank you for all you do.